All right, Mark Simon, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Well, we're doing great. I gave you this big buildup, and Adam said, yeah, you know, when you look in the box score, you always said, well, it looked like a line drive, but you never know. But now you do know. And I love it. The good fielding plays now that's being tracked.
Yeah, okay. So we've been doing this for a while. We do it for games, but it's public a little bit. We get to share it. I think I oversimplified it by saying that it's any time that Krug or Kite says, wow, that was a good play. We certainly are watching. We have people that are watching and they're listening to the announcers and they're taking their cues from that a little bit. But they're making their judgments as well. If a guy cuts the ball off in the gap, that's a good play. If a guy makes a diving stop, that's a good play. If Evan Longoria reaches into the dugout, as he did the other day, to make a catch, that's a good fielding play. The pertinence to the Giants specifically this year is two. One is Joe Panik. Joe Panik has 12 what we call good plays this year, which is at the very top for second baseman. He may not be at the top in the other analytics, but he's at the top there. And that's as many as he had all of last season. And I think that the eye test tells you that. He's made a lot of great diving stops. And looks very impressive. The other guy that is pertinent for is Longoria, who, when he came to San Francisco, the first 4 or 5 months, you had heard that he was a really good defensive third baseman, but I didn't feel like he showed it until the very end of the season. And that's carried over to this year. He has, I think, 12 as well, and that's only a couple shy of the total that he had last year. But most importantly, he's also cut back on mistakes, meaning that we track the bad stuff, too. The things that don't go well for a guy, a ball hitting off a guy's glove, a guy slipping and falling, that kind of thing. His good to bad is much better this year than it was last year. So if you're looking for positives after last night, two guys that have had good defensive seasons so far.
We're talking to Mark Simon of Baseball Info Solutions, and that's all good information to have. It's funny because with defense, I feel like a lot of times fans are more likely to give credit to their guy than another guy because you get to see him play every day, right? The Omar Vizquels, the JT Snows, we know how great they were once we saw them. When you're looking at the National League West and you look at a Nick Ahmed or a Brandon Crawford or over to the AL West with the Angels and Andrelton Simmons, which one of those guys, I know on paper, might say he's the best, but their fans might argue different.
I think Giants fans would have a hard time with me saying that Ahmed is better than Crawford. But Ahmed is better than Crawford definitely right now after what happened last, with Brandon's injury that he dealt with last year. And part of that is by, I guess, design. They tend to play him way over in shortstop third base hole a little bit so he can get to those balls that other guys aren't necessarily getting to. He also has one of the best shortstop arms in baseball. He was a pitcher who could throw upwards of 95. So he can go get it. When Brandon was really good, actually, what he was really good at is going over the middle to make plays. Ahmed is good the other direction. Simmons is probably better than both of them, but he's on DL and out to the All-Star break. I think it's a good question to kind of ask. With Simmons out, who's the best defensive shortstop? There's a whole bunch of guys that it could be, and every fan in their city thinks that it's their guy. But I would probably lean towards Nick Ahmed at this point.
Yeah, you know, I will tell you this, and, you know, of course, we watch all the games. He missed a ball last night, Ahmed, right up the middle. I'm telling you, and I said to myself, Crawford would have had that in his back pocket.
How do you track the bad play, right?
Well, I want to ask you that, Mark Simon of course, Sports Info Solutions, Baseball Info Solutions, a great, absolutely something you want to be part of. But what about the bad plays, the clanks? I know Longoria is picked it up. What about who's leading the clanks?
Oh boy, I will have to look that up and tweet it out.
All right.
Hang on, top of my head, I can tell you that the shortstop in New York, Amed Rosario, has had his fair share of clanks, and you were criticizing the Mets on your podcast, I heard, but you didn't mention him. His shortstop defense has been a rough watch. Tim Anderson is another one who tends to be up there in terms of the clanks. He's having a great season offensively, but he's got to pick it up a little bit on the defensive side. That's two guys for you.
Yeah, Tim Anderson, the bat flip.
See, a lot of these, they put so much into the bat, they almost don't care about the CPG, the clank per game.
I like that. Like that stat, Mark. I like hearing that. Yeah. I do. And one other thing about Panik, I saw this on the board last night, that For leadoff hitters, I guess he's like number one in the National
League. Leading off an inning, he has like the highest.
Yeah, like 4.11 or something like that.
He's been much better since they put him at the top.
To do.
Yeah.
Boy, interesting. Mark Simon with us. Mark, a little bit more on Longoria. Are his numbers now? We came into spring training. He was terrific, and got off to a little bit of a slow start. Got hurt a little bit. Well, what are his offensive numbers look like?
Well, this is the this is year two of, I think, Evan Longoria suffering a little bit in playing through Oracle Park. I think, and that goes for just about anybody. I've heard them talk in this past week about how many home runs Belt lost this year. So he's losing a little bit. He's been better of late, though. He's looked a lot like Longoria, the fastball hitter of the prime of his career. His numbers against the Heat are actually pretty good. But if you take anything else, curves and sliders and changeups, a lot of weak contact, I would guess, just guessing, a lot of off-balance swings, and the numbers aren't there in that regard. So I think that's the thing to watch for him, if he can get that part of his game going again like it did in Tampa.
Paul White was on with us a little bit early. You know Paul from USA Today Baseball Weekly. And he was talking about Josh Bell. And he was saying that Josh Bell's home run rate is 30% of his fly balls go for home runs, and the typical rate is 14%. So we kind of threw him in the MVP race with Bellinger and with Yelich. How about Josh Bell?
Yeah, he's been fantastic this year. He seems to have broken through maybe a swing adjustment. I think for him to outdo the top two guys, they got to hang in the race for a bit. And also, you were talking about Clanks. He's a very tough watch on the defensive side. Seriously. And he struggles with that. And I think that that's a concern. If he picks that up, then he's going to be a high wind player, and he will be right there with them. Certainly has hit very well and looked very impressive at the plate so far.
Well, he's came Pittsburgh in the wild card race. I don't think they're going to challenge the Cubs, but you know, they have so many injuries. So much has happened to them. But boy,
he's loaded.
Yeah, he's on the horizon. You know, he is now someone you definitely watch. When his at bats happen, you watch him. But 30% of his fly balls go out. So that, to me, that caught my attention. Andrew Suarez pitches today for the Giants. And, I of course, when I did my workup and talked about it earlier in the show this morning, you know, his August and September last year, you know, not good. A lot of home runs, and really he ran out of gas. What is it about Andrew Suarez? What do the numbers tell you about him?
It's pretty simple. He doesn't have a pitch that can get a right-handed hitter out at this point. He crushes fastball. He throws 93, doesn't throw 96. His curveball doesn't fool them. His slider doesn't fool them. His changeup does a little bit. But, like, when you're talking elite for sliders and changeups, you're talking about batting averages against them of, like, 160, 170, 180. And he's in the 230s and the 240s. So he's not doing anything special with those. I guess you would feel optimistic from the last start that, as they kept saying on the broadcast, it was basically just the one bad pitch, right? I think he hung a curveball and it got hit out. The slider was actually very good in his first start. That's the thing that I would watch today to see if he can maintain the effectiveness of that pitch against a tough Diamondback lineup.
A question about the National League West. I look around the league and I look at teams that are slugging the ball. The Cubs are starting to make another push again. We were just talking about whether or not the Pirates are in the mix for the wild card. Are the Diamondbacks a team that we should be seriously considering as a playoff contender in the wild card? They're a decent pitching team. They've pitched better, I think, than expected. The Padres have been pretty good as well. Could we see a wild card team come out of the NL West?
I think it's going to be difficult because of the fact that it feels almost certain that you've got at least two really good teams in the NL Central, and you might have two in the NL East. You might have four in the NL Central. The Diamondbacks don't have the starting rotation, I think, to contend for the long haul. They just had to pull Godley out. He was their five. Merrill Kelly, the import that they signed in the offseason from Korea, has been up and down. Weaver and Ray have been good, but I wonder about Robbie Ray and his walks, and I wonder about how long he can last in a game. And I'm not totally sold on them. They can hit. They definitely can hit. But I don't know if they're strong enough pitching-wise to make it last.
What about San Diego? San Diego's pitched, I think, a lot better than people expected.
Yeah, they could be the sneaker upper out of this. And I would certainly, I think if you're going to pick one team, it's going to be them. Machado's been fantastic. Franmil Reyes has hit a lot of home runs. They've gotten Hosmer going a little bit after he did nothing offensively last year. They will be helped significantly when they get Tatis back. The other thing that they're going to run into is the innings limit, potentially, on Chris Paddock, who you can make a case, I think, is a top 10 pitcher in baseball if he's fully right, which is a heck of a thing to say about a guy who's made 9 career starts. But if they can somehow manage that, that will certainly help their chances. I don't know that they have much starting pitching after him.
Well, the lineup is out, and since you're on, I'm going to mention it to you because when I look at it, I can't believe I'm reading the name. But it's Panic, Duggar, Posey. Sandoval is at third today instead of Longoria. Belt, Pilar, Yastrzemski, Crawford, and Suarez. I mean, I can't believe I'm reading the name Yastrzemski playing for the Giants.
How about that? Well, you might as well rotate another guy in there, right? And he was slugging almost 700 at AAA. So you got to subtract about 300 points off the slugging to convert it.
I don't care. It's Carl Yastrzemski. Come on. He's playing for the Giants. This
it's
is like deja vu all over again. This is incredible for me to see that name as part of the Giants. It really is. All right. Hey, you've been an expert on Giants baseball. Oh, before you go, there's one other thing that was on my mind. Again, talking with Paul White about the Mets. And, you know, sort of they used to have a lights-out rotation. Well, the lights are out. What happened to Syndergaard? I'm looking at the numbers, and DeGrom and Mats and Wheeler. What happened to these guys?
Well, I think with Syndergaard, the issue that I always wonder about with him is that his fastball is really straight and that guys can time it, and his slider hasn't been good this year. The changeup has been, but like the fastball should get a lot more misses than it does. You would think he would be an 11-12 strikeout guy, and he doesn't typically reach those levels. So I think that's one thing. Home runs have bitten him a bit. He's given up more home runs than he gave up last year. DeGrom's been pitching inside less. He's had a couple of starts that were fantastic. He's had a couple of starts that were brutal. And so he's been up and down. They've, as a team, it's been like a malaise kind of. Wheeler's had a couple of bad starts. They've been pitching inside less. That was a stat that we actually had in an article that we wrote. They've been pitching inside less this season, and it was thought that that was something that was making them a lot more effective last year. They may need to get back to doing that.
All right. All right, before we let you go, give me one good thing about the Giants. Because 18-2 was a tough one last night.
I turned it off at 8, and I will admit that I laughed when I saw the final score. Can I give you that it's with the anniversary of Willie Mays' debut?
Absolutely.
How about that?
Some good Giant news here. Go ahead.
All right. So it's the anniversary of Willie Mays' debut in 1951. He went 0-5. He started his career 1-26. He was basically Aaron Altair for like 8-9 years. And then he hit 400 for like the next 2 dozen games. But I thought the coolest thing in reading through the old New York Daily News articles yesterday about it was that when he was called up, Hank Thompson said, "Wait till you see him in the field. I saw him make 3 bare hand catches last year." So Kevin Mitchell has nothing on Willie Mays and bare hand catches.
Well, and the first hit was off the great Warren Spahn.
Yep.
Yeah. And if Spahn said, "Boy, if I would have gotten you out, you'd never be here." So that was it. Hey, Mark, great to have you on the show as always. It's great stuff. And you know, it just shows really how the depth of baseball today. And we watch the games and, you know, but to break it down, like the Mets not pitching inside as much or Suarez needing that one pitch that he could get people out with when he gets in trouble. I mean, those are the nuggets that we really appreciate. So I love having you on. I thank you for being here.
You got it.
All right. That is Mark Simon, Sports Info Solutions, Baseball Info Solutions, always with us and always has some good stuff.